So we're in Parashat Tazria, and one thing that I want to talk about today is how powerful and how important are words. Because that's what it's referring to in this parasha. And we don't even notice how our entire life is surrounded by conversations. And we constantly talk. And we don't value the power of the words, both for the negative and to the positive. And words are extremely powerful. And since we like starting with a little laugh, there was once a man, he comes home, long day of work, he arrives at the end of the day, he opens the mailbox, sees a phone bill, $1,500. Walks home, starts screaming at his wife, "I work all day long, and you're running me a phone bill, $1,500 phone bill, what is that going to be?" And he starts screaming at her, and she tells him, "I don't know what you're talking about. I do all my calls at work. I don't talk on the phone at home. It's you. You talk with your friends." He's like, "Me? I do all my calls at work. I don't talk while I'm home." So they look around. Who's left? "The cleaning lady. She's here all day long." They call the cleaning lady and they tell her, "You know, we just got $1,500 phone bill. You're making calls?" She's like, "I'm sorry, I also only make my phone calls at work." So we don't pay attention to the value of words and to the power of words. All day long we're busy with conversations and we never stop to think, wait a minute, where are my words reaching? Where are they going? And most people, when it comes to talk about words, then they talk about all the negative things, lashon hara, and lying, and cheating. So I don't want to talk about that. That you know already, that it's not good to talk about lashon hara. And it's not good to lie and to cheat. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something today that is called in Hebrew rechilut. Rechilut is kind of gossiping, but it's not lashon hara. It's different, because rechilut is not a bad thing. It's not a prohibited, it's not lashon hara. Lashon hara, I think the right translation is to say it's to slander. Is that you talk ra, bad, about somebody, and that somebody will suffer a loss from it. Some type of a loss. Rechilut is just basic talk that has no meaning, doesn't take you anywhere. There's nothing bad in it. Basic things that you talk every day and all day long. That's what we do. We do, it's called rechilut. Just talking. And there's nothing negative, I mean, there's nothing positive in it, but it's not a prohibition like lashon hara. And rechilut can be something as simple as, "Oh, you saw how beautiful the sky is. Did you see the building here? Yeah, it's really beautiful." You're just talking about the building. You're in nobody's business. And you can talk about a million and one different things. What you read in the newspaper, what you saw on the news. It's just blah, 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 blah. Nothing good comes out of it. There's no benefit in what you're talking. And this is called rechilut. And we waste our time on it. The term in Hebrew, it's called devarim betelim. Sicha betela. It's just a basic conversation that leads nowhere. So there's nothing positive there, and Baruch Hashem, there's also nothing negative, but it's just talking. And most people don't even pay attention to that. Now, it says in the Gemara that when a person, after 120 years, leaves this world and goes up to the heavens, they will remind him every word that came out of his mouth, his, her mouth. Even those, what's called the mundane conversation, sichot betelot, just sitting and talking about nothing. And the Gemara talks about that. Even that's going to be reminded to you. Amazingly, even in the book of Tanya, the older Rebbe, in chapter 8, he also says that a person will be judged for a very simple conversation he has with his wife. Just basic conversation. So we see that the Torah is being pretty harsh, that every word that comes out of my mouth is going to be observed. And be like, "Why did you say that?" Even though there's no prohibition here. I didn't lie right now. I didn't cheat. I didn't slander. I just talked for nothing. So we see that the Torah gives a lot of importance and a very big weight to every word that comes out of my mouth. The Gemara says that words are like an arrow. Once you shoot it, you don't know where it's going to go. Some of the words that you shoot, you know exactly where they're going to go. But some of them, you just talk. Just talk. With no meaning to do anything harm. And it's funny, it's mamash hashgacha pratit. A few years ago was the Second Lebanon War. And it's just something that I heard again recently, and I made the connection. Now, if you remember, there was a certain individual, we're not going to say who, so we chas v'shalom, not going to say Lashon Hara, but there was a certain individual that the day that the war broke out, he sold all his stocks in one of the banks. And it was a very big thing going on. What? Now, this was one of the military personnel, but a very high rank in the army, that the day the war broke out, or I think the day before the war broke out, something like that, he sold all his stocks. And what was talked about is, that's what you're busy? A war is breaking out and you're selling all your stocks? Meaning you know that now a war will change the value of your stocks in the market and you're going to sell all your stocks? And that was like the talk of the country, that this individual, extremely high-ranking officer in the army, that's what he did. Now, he of course went to the bank and he was about to sue them. How dare you tell them, come out with my public, with my personal records to the public? The bank was like, we didn't say anything. It went to such an extent that they took all the workers from the bank to a polygraph machine to make sure, and they all were saying the truth. And neither one of them said, I didn't say anything. So they were in a big puzzle. How did the rumor came out? What happened was, the two girls that worked in the bank were talking between themselves. They didn't went out to advertise it. They just talked between themselves. Happened to be that somebody overheard it and went and sold that juicy information to the newspaper. So these two girls, they were speaking, they weren't talking Lashon Hara. They were gossiping. Because they didn't have the intention to hurt him. They didn't have the intention to cut to. They just, in a very innocent way, were just talking between themselves. Did you see that building over there that he sold it? You know how much he sold it? For $5 million. Wow. I didn't know he has so much money. Yeah. Okay. Goodbye. That's not Lashon Hara. That's gossiping. It's none of my business. I didn't say anything bad here. I'm just talking about the business of somebody else. So there's a very big difference between Lashon Hara and Rechilut. Rechilut is gossiping, Lashon Hara is slandering. So the Torah is very, very particular about the words that are coming out of our mouth. Now, amazingly, we see that I spoke about it last week, that these three parashot, Shmini, Metzora, and Tazria, they're all about talking about the mitzvot that has to do with our mouth. If you remember last week, that's what I mentioned, because in Parashat Shmini, that's what we talked about mitzvot that has to do with our mouth. Just that in Parashat Shmini, it's what's going in my mouth. It was talking about the kosher diet. In Parashat Tazri and Metzora, it's talking about a different mitzvah that we use with our mouth. It's what's coming out of my mouth. So the mouth has two directions. What comes into my mouth is my kosher diet. And I have to be super particular about every little thing that comes into my mouth. But there's also a different motion, a different direction. What's coming out of my mouth? What words are coming out of my mouth? Lying, cheating, slandering, Lashon Hara. So much junk can come out of my mouth that I told you that sometimes people are so particular. They will dissect every little thing that comes into their mouth. But what goes out of their mouth, there's no filter on it. They don't care what comes out of their mouth. They'll be the most strict in kosher, you were asking before, with the eggs and the chicken and the... Some people are so machmir, so particular about a little thing. But what comes out of the mouth, no, that's fine. It's totally fine to badmouth somebody and to lie and to cheat and to curse. So these three parashot that we read now, Shmini, now we're in Tazria. Next week we're going to read... I mean, this week is actually Tazria and Metzora together. Usually it's the next week. So these three parashot are all talking about the mitzvot that are coming what's going into my mouth and out of my mouth. And our sages are very, very particular about this. Now, amazingly, you see the connection that usually these three parashot will come either before Pesach or after Pesach. If you have a leap year, it will usually come before Pesach. That's what we're going to have the next year. But this year we don't have a leap year, so it comes after Pesach. But it's usually around Pesach. Pesach is the holiday of speaking. We just finished now Pesach. Even the word Pesach, break it in half, it's Pesach, a mouth that speaks, constantly speaks. Sach comes from the word lasiach, mesicha. Sicha. Sicha is a conversation. So when I talk, you can translate it as dibur. But when I talk, for example, a whole conversation, it's sicha, a conversation. So Pesach is the mitzvah, is the holiday that we use our mouth. If you notice, all the holidays we use some organ of our body. All the holidays are like that. So Rosh Hashanah, we have to use our ear. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar, is blowing the shofar. So we have to use our ear. And then Yom Kippur, we have to do tshuva. It has to do with my heart. And Chanukah, li'otam bilvad, we have to look at the candles. I'm using my eyes. Every holiday, we're using some organs. Sukkot, my whole body has to be in the sukkah. And the mitzvah is lishev basukkah, which means that the body parts that are sitting, my legs, my back, everything, I'm sitting in the sukkah. All the holidays, an organ is connected to it. And Pesach is the mouth. Because the mitzvah of Pesach, vehigadat alibincha, is to say the Haggadah. Everybody has to say the Haggadah. Women too, children too. Everybody has to say the Haggadah in their words. The mitzvah is to repeat the story. That's the mitzvah of Pesach. I mean, we have also the mitzvah of Matzah. We have many, but the main mitzvah of the holiday of Pesach is to talk, is to advertise the miracle that happened 3,300 years ago. So these three parashot will always fall around Pesach, either before or after, because Pesach, if you remember, if you were joining us to all the classes of Pesach, I told you that Pesach is the time to do the tikkun for all our problems with our mouth. Lel Seder is the night, the ultimate time to do tikkun for Lashon Hara. Just by reading the Haggadah, you are able to fix the sin of Lashon Hara and cheating with your mouth and slandering and lying and all the problems with our mouth. This is the holiday of Dibur. So the Torah is very particular about talking. Now the Torah is even more particular about what's called Rechilut. Now what is the most famous story in history about Rechilut? We read it every day, we mention it every day when we pray, is the story of Miriam. Miriam spoke. She spoke about Moshe. She didn't say Lashon Hara. She was gossiping. She didn't go out to the entire nation and say, listen! She called her brother quietly. I mean, there is a contradiction here. The Ramban says that she actually also called Moshe into the room. But it doesn't matter the contradiction right now. But she called quietly Aaron into the room. And what did she tell him? Look at our brother. He divorced his wife. He's a prophet, but we're also prophets. We didn't leave our spouse. How come he's leaving? She didn't even say Lashon Hara. She didn't mean anything bad. Now the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu was invited to the room, that Moshe was there. The point was that she has no business to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu's business. Now this was not Lashon Hara. It's very important to know this is gossiping. Talking about somebody else's business, it doesn't hurt that person. The person will not have a loss from that. But it's not your business. And it's stump talking. There's nothing coming out from that. Now Miriam was such a tzaddiket that right on the spot she became metzorat. She had leprosy. Right on the spot. And we don't have leprosy in our generation, Baruch Hashem. We actually do, we just don't notice it. Because Miriam was such a tzaddiket, she's such a holy woman, that right away she got the leprosy. And what a shame. Can you imagine? That the entire nation had to wait a whole week. They all knew it. Can you imagine just the shame for just saying something small? And the Torah is very, very particular about it. Again, this is not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a totally different thing. We're not talking about Lashon Hara today. We're talking about gossiping. Stop talking for no reason. And that's how she got punished in such a severe way. Now, our sages explain that the reason why we don't have Metzorah today is because it says the word in the Torah, Adam. And the Baal HaTanya says the reason why we don't have Tzara'at today because neither one of us is in the level of Adam. Adam is a very high level, spiritually. And in our generation, nobody's in the level of Adam. We're in the level of Ish, we're in the level of many different levels. But since we're not in a high level, only somebody who's extremely, extremely righteous in a very high level can get Tzara'at. And neither one in our generation, nobody in our generation is in that level. That's why we don't actually have Tzara'at. The problem is that we do have Tzara'at in our generation. Tzara'at is leprosy. But the Tzara'at stays inside. It doesn't come out. And that's the problem in our generation. In the older generations, it would come out right away. Right away it will come out to the surface. And that would be a sign from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zip it. Close your mouth. Do tshuva. You're not talking right. Even if it's rechilut, not lashon hara. Now we don't have it because we're in such a low level that it just stays inside. And that's why the majority of the people in the world, they have all sorts of emotional problems and mental problems and depression and sadness, anxieties, fears, all these things. It's leprosy inside. So it doesn't come out on the outside, so it stays inside. You see the exact same thing that I constantly say that the system, the doctor's work in our generation is not curing the problem. It's just taking care of the symptom. And you would see that a person will come now to a doctor, and even not a doctor, a person has now a headache. 99.9% of the people in the world, when they have a headache, you know what they do? They take a Tylenol. They take a Motrin, whatever it is. They don't deal with the problem. They just numb the nerve. They deal with the symptom. Now the problem is, maybe that person is dehydrated, maybe the person is undernourished, or has to sleep, or whatever it is. There's some type of an issue. The body is reacting. The problem is that this is what the society, how distorted it is. They tell you, here, take this white pill. It will solve the problem. And hocus pocus, it solves the problem. There's no headache anymore. But I just numbed the nerve. I just numbed the problem. I didn't deal with the problem. I just dealt with the symptom. So nowadays, you go to a doctor, and if you have a rash on your hand, then the doctor will give you a cream. And he tells you, rub the cream on the rash, and hocus pocus, the rash disappears. Now you think that you dealt with the problem. You just took the toxins that is trying to go out of your body, and you pushed it back into the body. That's it. So the body has some toxins in it. It needs to get rid of it somehow. Either it will come out of your urine, either it will come out of your saliva or your sweat. And if it cannot find a way how to come out, then it will come out as a rash. Now you will go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you, smear this cream, and you, that's it. I finished the problem. No, you didn't. You just pushed it back into the body. And now it's going to come out through a different way. So the same thing with us, with the tzara'at. Once we had tzara'at, it would come up to the surface. Oh, I know how to close my mouth. Now we don't have that. So you know how it will come? I will be depressed. I will have anxieties. I will have anger problems. I will have nightmares. I'm going to have sleeping disorder. I will have eating disorder. I will have all sorts of problems. And I will blame it on the entire world. And then what would be the solution of the doctor? Take a pill. It will make you feel much better. So we don't have the external leprosy in our generation, but we do have the internal leprosy. And the leprosy comes from gossiping, not from Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a completely different thing. And I keep repeating it because I know that people, they connect Rechilut and Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is different. And the words in English is gossip and slander. It's two different words. Now, if you're looking at the order, now in the parasha, what it's talking about, that the leprosy would start in the walls of the house. And it says that if there would be a stain on the wall, then the person would have to call the Kohen. And if the stain was a red stain, the Kohen would come and look. They would have to wait for 2 weeks. And the Torah goes into all the details. And they would treat just the area. If that would not pass, they would have to break the wall. If that's not going to pass, then they have to break. The entire house is impure. And the Torah goes into to length about the details. And then from the leprosy from the walls, it would go to the clothes. And if the clothes had a stain on it, they would do the exact same thing. Till it would come to the actual person. And if the person would have a white stain, and it goes into details, I don't want to go into the details because it's not important right now, but it goes into details, if the white stain and it has hairs in it, doesn't have hair in it. The Torah goes into details to explain to me about the leprosy. And tzara'at comes from the word Motzi Shem Ra. This is the acronym. Motzi Shem Ra is that I talked and I made a bad name to somebody. And I made somebody not necessarily good, look good. Or I presented the situation in not the right way. Or I just slandered the person. Now the Torah comes and really emphasizes this point. Now comes a big question. What is so bad with words? What do you expect me to do? That makes me to be quiet now for the rest of my life. I can't talk. I know I can't lie, and I can't slander, and I can't cheat. I understand that. I understand. Let's put this aside. But you're telling me not to have a basic conversation with my friend? I meet my friend for coffee. What am I going to talk about? I mean, you expect me to talk only Torah all day long? We're not in that level. We're not on the level that every word that comes out of my mouth is Torah. I come home, I want to talk to my wife. How are you? How was your day? I mean, I need to have a regular conversation. Why is the Torah telling me to be very careful with what I say, that even a sicha betela, a basic conversation with my wife, that's going to be pointed out in the world to come. They're going to tell me, you just talked to with your wife about nonsense. So what's the problem with words? What is the Torah expecting me to do? And not only what the Torah is expecting me to do, what is so bad with my words? Why I have to so much monitor what I say? So our words are very, very powerful. And I recently heard a very, very amazing story that after the Holocaust, there was in the year 1946 a miracle that happened in Russia. Now many Polish people were transferred into Russia in the Holocaust. Transferred, kidnapped, moved, however you want to call it. But the fact was that there were many Polish people, I mean, some of it because of the Russian army, they took them as hostages, they took them as workers into work camps. The fact was that there were a lot of Polish people in Russia. Now, in 1946, the Russian government and the Polish government came to some agreement, and there was a short period that the doors were open for the Polish people that were in Russia to cross the border and go back to Poland. As long as they prove that they are Polish. Needless to say that the Jews in the generation then at the time wanted to hop on the wagon. This is a miracle. The doors are opening in Russia? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity to run away. So all the Jews in that time were looking how to forge documents to show that they're Polish, to cross the border. And this is a one-time opportunity, and it was a one-time opportunity because after that passed, that's it. Till the walls fell down in Russia, everybody was stuck there. You know what it was? An opportunity to run out of the jaws of Stalin? It was impossible. So this was an opportunity, and everybody tried to forge documents. So there's a story about a certain individual, a very famous individual. His name is Beryl Gorevich. He's a Lubavitcher. And in the Lubavitch circle, Hannah and Beryl Gorevich are very famous. They're offsprings. The entire Gorevich family, some of them are in Israel, some of them are in America. Very special family. But this individual, this young couple, Beryl and Hannah, just got married. And they wanted to run away. So they got the forged documents, and how it happened was that the lady, the girl, Hannah, got her forged documents that she's Polish, and Beryl didn't get his documents, but the guy who was doing it told him, we'll meet you in the train station. They come to the train station. Chana has her documents. Beryl doesn't have his documents because he's waiting for the guy to come and give him the documents. Something happened, he didn't show up. He was arrested, he was stopped, he was delayed. We don't know why, he didn't show up, that guy. Now they're standing in the train station. Chana has documents and Beryl doesn't, not only that he doesn't have Polish documents, he doesn't have Russian documents because he burnt them all. Because he couldn't be found with Russian documents on him. Now, can you imagine what's going on here? If he gets caught, he's going to be severely punished. Very quickly came a halachically question. What should we do? Should he divorce her? Because if he gets caught now, he's going to Siberia. He's not going to be with her anymore. And maybe he should divorce her. Because if not, they're going to be separated. And this was a question that had took maybe 2 minutes to come to a decision. Long story short, the police came, stopped everybody. Chana has documents, go on the train. Beryl doesn't have documents, he was sent to Siberia. Now she's going on the train without her husband into Poland. From Poland they moved them around and she ended up coming to France. This young girl just got married, her husband was taken. He was sentenced to slavery and he was shipped to Siberia into work camps. And she's in France and she's depressed and she's crying all day long. They took her husband. Now she has a bigger problem. She's a what's called Isha Aguna. She's married, but she doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have a get, and the husband is not dead, he's alive. She can't even get married. Now that's one problem, but she's heartbroken. Her husband is taken away from her. She was depressed for weeks, and finally she needed to get out of the house, and she went to work in some plants, sewing things. And there was a certain individual there. He was also a very famous individual. His name is Iche. And he kept telling her, don't worry, it will be okay. And every day he would really encourage her with his words. He's a famous individual, Iche Goldin. And I'm smiling because I'm friends with his grandkid. But anyway, he's a very special individual. This was all happening in France, in Brunois. And every day he would see her and tell her, don't worry, your husband is alive, you're going to be united with him, just be patient, Hashem is not going to let you be by yourself. And every day he would talk to her and say her encouraging words and give her hope, to a point that she started having some type of a life. And every day she would go to him just to hear him saying, Hashem is not going to leave you by yourself. Don't worry, you're going to have a beautiful family with him. He was just saying all these nice words. That was her hope. She would go to him to hear the words of hope. Amazingly, at some point down the line, 8 years later, there was a miracle. And the Russian government was willing to switch prisoners with the Polish government. 8 people were released. 8 people from Russia were released in this exchange. And Beryl was one of them. After 8 years. Now he crosses the border into Poland and he starts asking around. Now this is not our age that you pick up the phone or you go on Facebook. This is in the 40s, 50s. He goes to somebody in Poland, and it was in Warsaw. And he says, listen, do you remember the group of Jews that ran out in 1946? And he's like, yeah, I remember this group. They were Lubavitchers, a group of Lubavitchers. He's like, yeah. He's like, my wife is with them. Do you know where they went? He's like, I don't know. I remember them coming here to Warsaw, to Warsaw, but I don't know where they went. They took them somewhere. Starting asking around, where can I find my Chana Gurevich. Okay. They take him months trying to look them up. They meet a certain individual and they say, listen, there was a group of Jews that they were smuggled out of Russia and they stopped here in Warsaw. Where did they go? He says, I know a certain individual that might know. And he says, I'm going to write him a letter. And he writes the letter to his friend. And who is his friend? Itche Golden. And he's like, I'm looking for a young girl called Chana Gurevich. Do you know her? And that's the girl that kept coming to him every day. And every day he kept telling her, don't worry, Hashem is not going to leave you. Hashem is going to send you your husband back. He's alive. You're going to have a beautiful family with him. Every day he was pumping her up. And he was the guy who got the letter saying, I'm looking for Chana Gurevich. And he shows her the letter. And he was the one who came with the message and telling her, your bear is alive, he's coming. And they were united. And needless to say, they had a beautiful family with many, many kids. That and they started a beautiful lineage, and he became, Beryl became the head of the Beit Rivka in France, a very big organization, a very big school. And they got reunited, and you know, a good, beautiful ending story. But why is it so connected? Because this Itche, you think he knew anything? He knew where Beryl is, but the words, his words created a reality. His words were so genuine and so powerful that it created the reality. And this is why the Torah is so particular about our words, because our words create the reality. And if I put my entire energy into my words, that's the reality that I create. And my words are so powerful that they shape my entire reality and my entire being. And if my words are precise and every word has a meaning and where it's going and where it's going to hit, that's how powerful my words are. And that's why the Torah says you have to be so particular. I'm not talking about extreme negativity like lying. That's how severe lying is. That's how severe Lashon Hara is. If you look, the most severe sins are with their mouth. Lashon Hara is one of the most severe sins out there. That a person that talks Lashon Hara, en lo chelek l'olam haba, he's losing his place to the world to come. Now this is a very big thing, because I know a lot of people, they don't like, somebody approached me with that question. And he told me, you know, I listen to many rabbis online, and they all say that if you do this, this and this, you lose your portion to the world to come. You lose your l'olam haba. And recently somebody told me, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Hashem, such a good God, will take somebody's olam haba. I don't believe that. It doesn't sit well. What, a person will do mitzvot all day long, will live like a God-fearing Jew, and he would say one word of Lashon Hara and his entire olam haba is going to be taken? What's going to happen to that soul? I don't agree with this theory. And I told him, listen, first of all, it's much more than, this is the problem when people learn from things online. Because it becomes a broken phone. One person says something and then it loses context. When our sages say, "En lo chelek la'olam haba," the revelation from the Sfira of Binah, that's called Olam Haba. It's not the world that is after. Now, if I lose, chas v'shalom, my Olam Haba, it's not that I lose my position in the world to come, that I'm going to be hanging in the universe. I'm losing the godly revelation that will shine from the sphere of Bina. Now, it doesn't mean that the soul gets perished. It doesn't mean that the soul is not going to be in Gan Eden, chas v'shalom, or in the world to come. It just means that it lost one type of he'ara, a godly revelation. And that is a very bad thing, because Bina, the sphere of Bina, that's the M. Bina comes from the word Em Habanim Smecha, what we read when we say Halel, when we read Tehillim. Em Habanim, it's Bina is the Sfira that brings all the shine into the Sfirot. Now we're doing Sfirat HaOmer. In a few minutes we're going to talk about the Omer. What's the point of the Omer? The Omer, if you notice, we're only refining from Chesed. What happened to the Mochin? Where's Chabad? The Chochma, Bina, and Daat. The Bina is the one that molida, that impregnates, that brings in, all the hashpah comes from Bina. So, if I don't have connection to this Sfira, then what will nourish my Sfirot, my attributes? Now, we know that we have two Midot, that we have Malchut and we have Bina, that these are the feminine parts. Now Malchut is what's called Ima Tata'a, the lower level mother, and Bina is the Ima Ila'a, the higher level mother. This is Rachel and Leah. Rachel is Malchut, is Ima Tata'a, and Leah is Ima Ila'a, is Bina. Everything comes from Bina. Bina is the Midah that in Molida that brings down all the Shefa. So if a person, Chas V'Shalom, damages something that he loses his Olam Haba, suddenly he's going to be kicked out of the universe. Just that they don't get He'ara from the Sfira of Bina. And this is a very severe thing. It's almost like being invited to the cocktail party, but you're sitting outside. You don't get to shake your hands with all the celebrities. And this is Lehavdil Alef of the Lot. You can't even compare it. But this is really what it means when a person loses his Olam Haba. Doesn't mean that he's going to be kicked out of the universe. But it is a severe thing, trust me. You do not want to be lacking this godly revelation directly from Bina. Now, why am I saying that? Because Lashon Hara, a person says Lashon Hara, he loses his Olam Haba. There are other sins that a person can lose his Olam Haba. That's how severe my tongue is. Now, there are different things when a person can correct this, the sin of Lashon Hara, and one of them is Pesach. If you observe the 7 days exactly how you should, that's the tikkun for Lashon Hara. We mentioned that already in the classes of Pesach. There are many different things that one needs to do. But we see the severity of Lashon Hara and lying. People don't understand how bad lying is. Lying is just as severe as Lashon Hara. And people come up with all these loopholes. Oh, it's a white lie. I don't even know who gave lies colors. White lie, a blue lie. A lie is a lie. Doesn't matter who you lie to and how much you lie. A lie is a lie. You don't speak truth. That's it. Very simple. And people come up with all these explanations. I'm lying, he's a non-Jew, he's this. Who cares? A lie is a lie. Somebody asked me today, not today, a few days ago, about cheating in their taxes. And I said, you're coming to me to give you a permission to cheat in your taxes? Cheating is cheating. And they said, Kevin, but the government. I said, you lie? Even if you lie to a dog, you're lying. Even if you steal from a cat, you're stealing. Doesn't matter. It's the action. Doesn't matter if you did it to somebody mean or bad or an animal. You're not allowed to. It doesn't say in the Torah you're not allowed to lie to a Jew. It says don't lie. Even lying to yourself is lying. Even stealing from an animal is stealing. So, unfortunately, people come up with all these loopholes and trying to find where it's allowed to do it. But here we're talking about severe things you do with your mouth. Now we're concentrating on something that is not so serious, it's just gossiping. And why is it looked upon in such a severe way? Because what I say, I create a reality. What comes out of my mouth, that is the reality. And in this story that was so touching, that this man was every day telling her, he's alive, he's going to come, you're going to have a beautiful family with him, don't worry. He was creating that reality. He was bringing the option to the universe that that's what's going to happen. Can you imagine if he would keep telling her, listen, you get married again, he's never coming back. And we have to notice in how we talk, how much negativity is in what we say. And how much we should change the way that we talk. Just talking positive, that allows that concept to be dressed into the reality. I can reshape the reality with my words. That's why blessings are so powerful. That's why praying is so powerful. That's why when we talk Torah, we have to move our mouth. If you don't move your mouth, if you don't come out with a sound, it's like you didn't say anything. A lot of people, they say Birkat HaMazon with their eyes. You see the eyes moving. If you did not move your mouth and sound did not come out, you didn't say Birkat HaMazon. There are a few things, Birkat HaMazon, benching, Shema Yisrael. If you didn't say it with your words, it's like you didn't say anything. And Torah that was not pronounced with our words, it's nothing, it's empty. Because our words create the reality. We know Hashem created the world with Dibur. It says Hashem speaks and He creates the world. Meaning that if you put something into your words that is positive, that's the energy you put into the world. You create the reality. And when you do the opposite, when there's negativity, or even non-negativity, not here, not here, parv, then you're not doing anything. You're not creating anything. You're not benefiting the world in anything. So the Torah comes in a very particular way. Says, no, you have to be very, very particular. And you see that the power of talk is so powerful that one thing that we all deal with, which is a very hard midah to refine, is the midah of kas, of anger. And we all have it. And nobody is calm to a place that can say, I have no anger in me. And even people that are very relaxed and they seem very calm, there is a point that you can bring them into anger. Now, the anger comes if you follow our course in Tikkun HaMidot. I explained many times that the highest midah in the positive side is anava, is being humble, and the highest midah in the negative side is the opposite, is geava, is pride. This is the highest midah, that's where it starts. Now if a person has geava, has pride, has an ego, then the first midah that it will, a midah is a character, that it will birth is anger. That's it. And the next one will be sadness. So starts with pride, with geava, then it will go down to anger and sadness. So we all have anger in us. You can be a very relaxed person, but somebody will push the right button, comes the nuclear bomb. And some of us, the anger is out of control. But the reality is that we have to acknowledge the fact that we have anger in us. Now, what's the way to reverse the anger? Is to fix the dibur, the talking. If a person has a lot of anger, has to really keep their mouth from lashon hara and gossiping and lying. Why? Because the dibur, the speaking, ignites it. And one of the many examples to see how it comes, take a person that is angry. Once he starts talking about what annoys him, he gets all hyped up. You can get very upset about something and it's not so much out there. Then you meet your friend and you start talking about it, then starts coming the flames. Because you start talking about it. And she said this, and she said that, and the dibur, the talk, starts igniting it. So the Torah is very particular about our words. And the same way that we're very, very particular what comes into my mouth, I have to be very particular what goes out of my mouth. And I have to put a lot of weight and importance into my words. Why? Because my words create a reality. That's why the bracha that I say before I eat is extremely important. Because what do we say? We say in the bracha a certain sentence. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and so forth. What is Baruch? Baruch, you can translate it as blessed. But Baruch comes from the word in Hebrew, Havracha. Havracha is to connect, to make some type of a connection. This is Baruch. So when I say Baruch Ata, is I connect myself with Hashem. Who am I connecting myself? To Hashem. Ata, you. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hashem. That's what's a bracha. A bracha can be a blessing. But a bracha is me being connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning that with my words, I'm able to change my spiritual state by being connected now to the Master of the Universe. Just with my words. That's the meaning of the word bracha. Bracha, you can translate it as blessing. But bracha is a connection. And with my words, I can create such a connection that I can create, that I can be connected to the Master of the Universe with my words. And in one word, I can disconnect myself from the entire universe. That's why our sages say that a word is like an arrow. Once it comes out of your mouth, it's out. It's out. Now it's connected to somewhere else. So I need to be extremely particular with my words. And the dibur, the talking, is directly connected to anger. Because what's the way of holding your anger? Is to be quiet. Is to close your mouth. Because usually when you're angry, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is a curse. Or a not nice word. Or a contra to what somebody told you, something in the same level. Because you don't want to be the loser. He told this about me, I have to say something back. To even it out. And the remedy is to, when you're angry, is just to be quiet. Count till 10. Hold your anger inside, you count till 10, you breathe a little bit in and out, and the ultimate is to take now a book of Tehillim and read a few chapters of Tehillim when you're very angry. Because the dibur of holy words calms you down right away. So when a person starts getting angry about something, right away you close your mouth because the talking starts igniting it. But if you start talking divrei Torah, words of Torah, by just reading a few chapters of Tehillim, can be even open a chumash and read something from the Torah. Doesn't matter what it is, but holy words. So what I want to take from that is that my words are very powerful. And when our sages tell us, be very careful with your words because they're going to remind you of those words in the world to come, is because every word that comes out of my mouth has weight to it. And I can wake up in the morning and see a person and tell him good morning, and my good morning can make his day, and I can tell him also something different in the morning, and that would ruin his entire day. One word in the morning can change the person's day, because our words can shift a reality. And I can now psychologically talk to a person all day long and change that person's entire reality just by talking to him, giving the person hope, talking positive. So we want to take from that that our words should be calculated, our words should be very observed, how they're going out, what am I saying, and yes, my words should be counted and make sure that my words are positive, that they're building words, not destructing words. Bezrat Hashem, when I'm able to focus on that, that does a very deep refine in me that the ultimate punishment for the words is the leprosy, the tzaraat. Then since we don't have the external tzaraat, the leprosy, then it's internal. And the way to fix it is with my words. And when a person wants to fix the inside, is to monitor the words. Bezrat Hashem should all have the ability and the awareness to start filtering our words the same way that we want to filter our eyes, we want to filter our ears, we filter as many things that we can, we filter our tap that the water is filtered, then since I'm filtering things that's going into my mouth, I have to start filtering what's going out of my mouth and think. Stop for a few seconds before I'm talking and to say, is the words I'm about to say, will it hurt you? Will it benefit you? Is it going to do something good to the universe? And yes, I don't need to gossip all day long. And sometimes it's just enough to talk some positive things and to share some words of Torah. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all reach to that level that we're really working on our words. That's when we really reach our ultimate and our inner tikkun. Bezrat Hashem, we should all have a beautiful, beautiful week.